Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, verses 14 and following. While you're turning, just let me say this. There are a lot of great places these college students could go. They could attend. There's a number of churches they could attend. We all know that. But let me say this. If they come here, I know what they're going to get. Now, I'm selfish because I was a UF student. And I came to North Central, and Jesus Christ impacted me huge in this place. And I know if they come here, we won't get them all, but we want to do everything we can to make disciples of these students that are coming. Many of them don't even, that is not on their radar that Jesus may send them to the ends of the earth as a disciple maker. It may not be on their radar that they're going to one day be a godly husband or a godly wife or a Sunday school teacher one day or involved in the Lord's work in some way. But we want to put it on their radar. Amen, church? And we want that to happen in the lives of our students. And I'm so thankful that Matt leads this ministry, doing a fantastic job. And so let's all be a part of what he's asked us to be a part of here today. Look at Romans chapter 15. We're entering into a brand new section real quickly. Who knows the first blank in the outline? Raise your hand. Grace what? Needed. The second one, grace what? Given. I've got one person that knows this outline, okay? This is really a blessing to me today, okay? Number three, grace what? Understood. Number four, grace to Israel. The last one we have been in for a number of weeks, grace lived out. Very good. Now, today, we're doing the end. Can I have an amen? Now, this is not the last message, okay? Sorry. That was kind of like what preachers do, you know, when you do a touch and go. You know, preachers, sometimes they say, in conclusion, and they preach about 15 more minutes, you know. They kind of come in for a landing, and they say, I got more to say, and they take off, you know. That was kind of that way. But no, there are only three more messages today and two more. And we're done with Romans. And it's been exciting. But here's the final big segment. Grace in Paul. So write that down. There's no blank on there for you today. Grace in Paul. So we have grace needed, grace given, grace understood, grace to Israel, grace lived out, and grace in Paul. This has been a blessing to me just to know how to organize the book of Romans. I have enjoyed just hashing this out. Now today, we're looking at the message, Paul's thoughts on ministry. These are some personal things he's going to give us, the end of chapter 15 and all of chapter 16, kind of some personal things. Today is Paul's thoughts on ministry. Next week is Paul's thoughts on people. And then the third week is Paul's thoughts on protection. Paul's thoughts on praise and protection, okay? So today, Paul's thoughts on ministry. Look at the passage. This is Romans 15, 14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now skip down to verse 22. For this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey, and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. Now, we'll deal with some other passages that finish out this chapter. But I want you to know there are two points to this sermon, if you want to write it down. I want you to get the outline of this. The two points today are this: Paul's confidence. He's talking to us about ministry. Paul's confidence. And then the second one is Paul's plans. You see there, that starts in verse 22 when he says, "Hey, I'm planning to come to you." So these are kind of personal matters, but folks, we learn a ton of things from Paul. There are timeless principles in these passages that we learn. Now, first of all, Paul's confidence. What was his confidence in? He says in verse 14, "Now I myself am confident concerning you." Can I say this? Number one, he is confident in the brethren for their spiritual growth. He says, "You're full of goodness." That means a plentiful supply. "You're filled with all knowledge." That's a knowledge of Christian teaching in verse 14. He says, "Goodness and knowledge to the Romans." But I want you to know this. When he wrote Corinthians, he says, "You're full of knowledge," but he never said, "You're full of goodness." That's interesting, isn't it? You know, the church at Corinth, we've studied 1 Corinthians. The church at Corinth had all kinds of problems, all kinds of immorality, all kinds of, they were in a mess. But the word goodness there means a moral goodness, that their heart was right, and he's saying to them, "You're full of goodness and you're full of knowledge." And then he says, "Able to admonish one another," at the end of verse 14. So we know that the Romans' faith was spoken of highly. In chapter 1, verse 8, it says that. He's confirming their faith. He says, "I've written more boldly to you." In other words, I'm saying, look, on some subjects I have written boldly to you. Look at verse 15. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you." You know about chapters 1 and 2, grace needed. 1, 2, and 3, grace needed. That is where he talks about sin and the sinfulness of mankind, and he speaks boldly about sin. And so he's saying to them in 15, verse 15 of our passage, "Hey, but I have confidence. I have confidence in the brethren." Can I say this, that when Jesus comes into lives, we can have confidence that God can use them to be disciple makers. God can use them to make an impact in lives. So he has confidence in the brethren. The second thing he has confidence in, still in point one, Paul's confidence, he has confidence in the conversion of the Gentiles. If you look at verse 16, "That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God." Now, we know that the church is brand new. The gospel going to the Gentiles is a new thing. The Jews, the disciples, the Jewish people had been converted, many of them, and the gospel was beginning to spread. But guess what? It was spreading to the Gentiles. And Paul felt that he was the ambassador of the gospel to the Gentiles. But I want you to know, he had confidence. He says in verse 14, "I am confident concerning you." And there were Jews and Gentiles in that church. And so his confidence is in the conversion of the Gentiles. Notice in verse 18, though, he says this, For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. The only thing he glories in is what Jesus has done through his life, and that's a great principle of ministry. He's not taking any credit for it. He's saying, "I want you to know I'm confident in you in Rome. I'm confident in the gospel to the Gentiles." But let me tell you this, the third thing he's confident in. He's confident in the power of the gospel for all the lost. John MacArthur wrote a book one time, "The Sufficiency of Christ." Folks, let me tell you something. Our world has tried rehabilitation. We've tried education. We've tried political means. We've tried everything we know to mean. The only transforming power that can change a person is the transformation that comes when Jesus comes in. And the Apostle Paul is saying this, "Let me just tell you At the end of this letter, what I'm confident in. I'm confident in you, brethren, because you have the gospel. I'm confident that the gospel going to the Gentiles is sufficient. But I just want to just summarize and say this. I am confident in the power of the gospel for all of the lost. If we didn't believe that, why would we send missionaries? But let me say this. If we don't believe that Jesus Christ is sufficient to change lives, we need to get these people home. But we do. But we know. Look at verse 20. In verse 20 says, "And so I have made it my aim." Ladies and gentlemen, do you want to shoot for something in a local church? You want to shoot for something in your life? Preacher, pastor, do I want to shoot for something in my life? Paul says this, "I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." I tell you what, someone has said this. They said, "No one deserves to hear the gospel twice until everyone hears it once." Now, folks, you know what that tells me? That we're here, and a lot of what we better be doing is getting people to go to places that have never heard the gospel. Paul says it's his aim. Now, it doesn't, he's not criticizing a local church in a place where the gospel's strong. He's just saying that for him, his aim is to take the gospel to places that there's no other foundation. And boy, there are great stories of those that have done that. So his confidence is in the power of the gospel for all the lost. And in verse 21, he quotes the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. "Don't tell me that it was not in the heart of God that all of mankind have Jesus Christ." Because in the Old Testament, even when he had chosen Israel, it was his will that Israel might be a blessing to all the nations. And he quotes this verse. He says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise up to reign over the Gentiles." Over the Gentiles. "In him the Gentiles shall hope." Excuse me, I read the wrong verse. I'm so sorry, I read verse 12. That's a good verse, though. Verse 12 is a great verse. But verse 21 is the one I need to read. I'm sorry. That's the problem when you mark up your Bible. I went to the marks here. Okay, verse 21. "To whom he has not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand." One man leaned over to his wife and said, "Boy, these new translations are really weird, honey." But anyway, it's all right. I just read the wrong verse. So his confidence, listen, Paul is talking to us about ministry. I love this. Maybe it's just hitting me. I hope it'll hit you too. I just hope it'll encourage us. Paul comes to the end of this letter. He's written all these chapters of theology. And he comes to the end. He's talking to the people there about ministry. He said, "You know, let me tell you something. I'm confident in the gospel. The gospel can change lives." Then, number two, Paul's plans. Talk about Paul's confidence. Now Paul's plans. The first plan, he tells them, is he's going to go to Rome. He wants to go to Rome. You remember when we first started studying Romans, one of the kind of the word on the street was Paul was great ministering to the people in Jerusalem and the people right around the Jews. But boy, he didn't want to go to the big metropolis of Rome. He was too embarrassed. Maybe he didn't have his arguments down. Maybe he couldn't preach to the secular crowd. But Paul said this in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Well, he reiterates here in verses 22, 23, and 24 that he wants to go to Rome. "For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you." What's the reason? The reason is he wanted to go to places that there was no gospel. That's the reason. And Rome, Paul did not found the Roman church. Paul was not the church planter that started the Roman church. And so he wanted to go to Rome, but the compelling call upon his life, his aim, was to go somewhere that people had never heard. "And so for this reason, I've been hindered from coming to you, but now no longer, having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain." Man, you talking about vision? You talking about vision? The Apostle Paul has already been to much of the known world right there in the Mediterranean world, and he's got his eye on Spain. They don't even hardly know what's up there. He's saying, hey, there's new land up there. I want to go. This guy's a pioneer. And he says, but when I come to Spain, I wouldn't mind home basing out of you guys, out of Rome. And so he says, I'm desiring to come to Rome. He's desired it for many years. In verse 24, he's going to go to Spain. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey, to be helped on my way there by you. If first I may enjoy your company for a while. He wants to enjoy their company, all right? Now, what are his plans? His plans are to go to Rome and to Spain. The second plan that he tells them is that he's going to help the poor. Because in verse 25 through 29, he says, but now, he says, I'm coming to y'all, but just be patient because I've got something that I'm involved in right now. Verse 25, but now I'm going to Jerusalem. This is Romans 15, 25. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. There were Gentile churches that had taken up a collection to go back to Jerusalem to help the poor Jews, Jewish converts. If you want to go back and study this, we don't have time to go back and study it, but Acts 20, 22 through 23, the Bible says this, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. He's going to help the poor, and that is talked about in the book of Acts. It's also talked about in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. So Paul's confidence, his confidence in the gospel, Paul's plans. What are his plans? To go to where? Rome. To go help the poor. These are learning activities, so you get involved. Get involved. I read over and over again. I was reminded this week, 96% of what you just hear, you'll forget. Well, you know what that does? That makes what I do I didn't even say it and you laughed. No, that gives me a challenge. That means I'm not satisfied if you go out of here and you don't get something you remember. So you write it down. You get out a pen, your lipstick, mascara, something, and you write it down, okay? So you'll remember this. So he's going, his plans, his confidence is in the gospel. His plans are to go to where? And then he's going to help. But before he goes there, he's going to help the who? The poor. The other thing, he has plans for protection. In verses 30 through 33, as we end this chapter, he says this. Well, let me go back and read, because I didn't read these verses. In verse 28, therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed them this fruit, talking about the offering to the poor, then I shall go by way of you to Spain. So I'm coming, but these are my plans. Okay? Verse 29, but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now he goes into verses 30 and 33 where his plan is given for protection. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. There were those in Jerusalem that were after Paul. And so Paul is saying, will you pray for my protection? Will you pray that God would work in my life and protect me? And then he ends it by saying this, and that my service, the end of verse 31, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So these are Paul's personal words. Paul's just talking about ministry. He's talking about his confidence. This week, we had all these children up here. 148 of them enrolled in it from throughout the week. Some came one day and then missed a day and came back the rest of the week. But all in all, there are 148 precious children that had been on this property studying the Bible. You say, well, y'all just up here wasting your time. You know, you people are up here giving your morning, wasting your time. No, we're not. Oh, no, we're not. We have confidence in the gospel. Can I tell you this? I have confidence that the Lord is with you and the Lord is with me in all of our circumstances. I think about the difficulties that we face. You know, this morning we sang, "It Is Well With My Soul." Horatio Spafford, you know this story. Horatio Spafford was a Chicago businessman, and in 1871 went through the Chicago fire and lost a lot of his assets. But he decided to major on the things that were major, spiritual things in the life of his family. So he said, I want to go on a trip. I want to go to Europe. And so they purchased passage on a ship from New York City to go over to Europe. When they were about to go, business matters kept him in Chicago, but he went to New York, put his wife and his four daughters on the ship. The ship was rammed out at sea by another ship, and it was split wide open. It was almost like a Titanic story, but instead of an iceberg, it was a ship. And those people all perished. There were 280-something people that perished. Spafford, back in Chicago, received a telegram from his wife. And she said, saved alone. I was reading a column by Elizabeth Elliot, who was the wife of Jim Elliot, who he was speared in Ecuador in 1956. And Elizabeth Elliot told the story of going to Jerusalem and spending time with the fifth daughter of Horatio Spafford. See, the wife was saved alone, and so Spafford went to be with his wife, and they had more children. This daughter, who was born after that tragedy in 1967, spent time with Elizabeth Elliot, and Elizabeth Elliot said, I learned details about that story I'd never known. She said the woman said, my mother told me that when they were in the water, she reached for and her hand grazed the lace of one of her daughter's dresses, but she couldn't get it. And she said, really, she should have died, but she was floating on something that was a piece of wreckage, and someone came and saved her, or she would have died herself. As the story goes, Spafford took passage on another ship to go be with his wife, and when he came to the point of where his wife and their children had encountered that tragedy, and where his four daughters, 11-year-old Tanetta, 9-year-old Bessie, 5-year-old Margaret, and 2-year-old Annie had died. He wrote what we sang. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot. Now, we don't use that word. What is your lot? Somebody says, what's your lot in life? You ever heard that phrase? What's your lot in life? You know what that is? Those are the unseen factors in life we can't control. You know, there are unchangeables in your life. The family you were born in, your gender, your hair color, your physical features. There are so many things, the nation you were born in. There are so many things that are unchangeable. That's part of your lot in life. The other part of your lot in life is the way some people treat you, the difficulties you face, sometimes the diseases you have, all these problems, that's your lot in life. And Spafford said this, and I hope we take peace in this, from Paul in this passage of Scripture as well. Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. If you could change your lot, listen, If you could change your lot, but it not be well with your soul, which would you choose? Well, I'd rather have my soul in the hand of God, knowing that no matter what happens, for all eternity, I'm going to spend my time with Him. No matter what happens to me in this life, I have a peace that passes understanding. Hey, listen, is life all roses? No. Boy, there's one thing I've learned. You know, when you're a young person, when I was a college kid here, I thought, man, I got my whole life ahead of me. I got it all planned out. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to go. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to be. I'm going to, you know, win in all athletics all my life. That stopped quick, okay? But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that's not been my lot. What's your lot? The greatest church planter has given us the epistles of the New Testament, basically, is telling you and I today in this church, I'm confident in the gospel. It can hold you. It can change you. And I want to say this, I'm confident that every little seed of the Word of God planted in these little ones this week will bear fruit. Now you can say, well, you know, I think if we just had better rehabilitation of people, better education of people. I believe in all of that. But can I tell you this? The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe it. So I don't know what your lot in life is, but let me tell you this. When you see a smile today, when someone comes up and hugs your neck, when someone says, I'm so glad to see you today, when you look in the face of a little child and they grin at you, that may be the smile of God just reminding you this. Whatever your lot, you can have peace. It is well with you. That happens when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.